Cassidy. Hey, you know, you never know what's going on. That's part of what the problem is. When we're kids, we look around and we try to figure out what's going on. And when we try to figure out what's going on, we have a problem because people tell you something is going on, but it's not always exactly what's going on. So here's what most people have to do. They have to figure out what's going on themselves. Now, if you're somebody who tends to be frightened, you spend all your time thinking, what's going on, what's going on, what's going on, what's going on? And you try to figure it out, and you figure it out, and you figure it out, and you make up theories, and you have ideas about what's going on, what's going on, what's going on, and then nothing's going on. Or not what you thought was going on is going on. Something else was going on. There's a great scene in Back to the Future, the original Back to the Future, where he meets the scientist for the first time, and he says, you know what you just proved to me? He said, you just proved that what I know isn't true. That was a great scene at the beginning when they meet. This is Armand DeMille with you, with the positive mind. Part of what makes for a positive mind is feeling that you're okay with what's going on. Now, some people are okay with what's going on because they don't care. They feel okay, like elephants. You know, elephants see the monkeys fighting. They don't care. Go fight amongst yourself. You're not going to hurt me. Elephants look at, you know, they're big. It's the easy way to get through life, be an elephant. That's one. But sometimes, you know, when if you're a chipmunk, and you see the wings of a bird cast down on the, you know, you see the shadow. You got to run. What's going on? Is that shadow something to be afraid of? You know, you get afraid of shadows. You get afraid of smells. You get afraid of a rustling in the breeze. If you hear the birds running, you don't know what's wrong. If you're a chipmunk, and many people I know are like chipmunks, your mind is always worried about what's going on. So today we're going to talk about discernment, acute discernment, discerning, being able to be perceptive, to have keen insight, perspicacity. I remember when I was taking the GREs, graduate record exams, remember those? Graduate record exams, they were teaching us words that you had to memorize. You'd have a word on a card and you carry these cards around because you're going to take these GRE tests. Antediluvian. There's a word I always wanted to use. You know what I mean? Perspicacity was one of those words, but I liked perspicacity because it meant being able to discern clearly. The other word I really liked was persiflage. Persiflage is a good word because it means meaningless banter. When people are just talking back and forth at each other, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, and bantering, which is kind of like jousting, that's called persiflage. Sometimes you hear people arguing like that. Persiflage, at-da-ba-ba, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Persiflage means a lack of perspicacity. It's getting confusing, isn't it? This is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. How do you discern what's going on? Remember Marvin Gaye and that song, that wonderful song he did, What's Going On? What's Going On? Mother, you don't need to, you know, trying to figure out what the war was about. What are we really doing? Trying to figure out what your president's about. Why are we in Iraq? What's the prison all about? We have a new president, you know, what's really going on? Should I lose faith? Should I not lose faith? You have a new lover. What's really going on? is he cheating on me or is he not cheating on me? Is he telling me the truth? Is he not telling me the truth? Is she telling me the truth? Is she not telling me the truth? How do we figure it out? Well, I'm going to try to work with you today at figuring out some things. Let's think about what gets in your way. When you go to a salesperson, a salesman who's selling cars, he's got a job in life, and his job is to determine what does this person need. Not what kind of car does she need. What does this person need? So here's a person who's walking in, and I'm a car salesman, and I want to sell him a clunker. I'm a used car salesman of all things. And I see a person walking in, and he's walking in here, and he's very boastful and blusterous. And he says, I'm here to look at something. I want something really hot and special, and better not try to fool me. Well, if you're a car salesman, you know how to handle that kind of guy. You got to make him feel special. You got to say, not with somebody wearing that kind of tie. You know, it's a really beautiful tie. Where did you get that? Well, my friend bought it for me. That's really gorgeous. It wouldn't look good on very many people. It looks good on you. Let's see what we have here in cars for you. Well, I'm not really sure that these would be the kind of car that you would like. And then you sell them, but you watch for his need to get one over on you. Now, you could sell to that need. And salespeople learn how to fit your needs, how to fill your needs. And that's why you buy from them. You don't buy the stuff you need. It's not the stuff they're selling. They're just making you feel good so they can sell you something, because you could buy it anywhere. So how do we know when somebody's just selling us a bill of goods? You meet somebody for the first time, and you wonder, is she telling me the truth or not? She tells you how wonderful you are, how strong you are, how fabulous you are, what a wonderful person you are, what a great lover you are, how she's never seen anything like this. And then when you argue with her, she unleashes, I can't stand the way you smell, I can't stand the way you look at me, I can't. And all of a sudden you find out all those things that you believed were true weren't true. And you go, oh my gosh, I believed it. Or a man meets a woman and he lies to her, because what's the objective here? The objective here is to exploit the other person to fit your needs. What are your needs? If your needs are for security, if your needs are for to find something solid, to feel protected, you seduce the other person, however you seduce them. If the man has an obvious need for sex, or the woman has an obvious need for sex, you seduce them by the clothing you wear, the perfume you wear, the way you look at them. But it's all seduction. But how do you know what's real? This is our question. You could listen to our programs here on BAI. We could sell you nutrition. Or we could sell you bacon. We could sell you anything, you know. We could be talking about anything. And how do you know what's true if I have something to sell? It's always kind of unusual, you know, when you have a person who's selling a product. And they're talking about how good this product is. But they make their living selling the product. Like if somebody sells books, and they tell you how great this book is, but they're selling, their job is to sell the books. So what gets in the way of your seeing what the truth is? And by truth, you know, I don't want to overpresent truth. Truth is cheap. Truth is easy, but I don't know if anybody knows what the real truth of anything is. What is true? I mean, is love true, or is neurosis true, or, you know, what's true? I don't know. I can't figure that out. But what gets in your way? So the other day I was sitting with a young man who was boasting. And he was telling me about what he's doing and how he is in life and how much he knows in life and how charming he is. And I was noticing he was very, very charming and fast. But you see, I'm a trained clinician. So I looked, and with my trained eye, I said, bipolar disorder, bipolar 2. He's a person with a lot of manic energy. I'll bet he gets depressed as well. I'm saying this to myself because I've been around a lot of people in my life and I see it. It's like if you go to a dentist, you know, and you got bad teeth or bad breath, your dentist is going to look and say, huh, see the work that they've had done. I mean, they're not going to mention anything, but so I'm that kind of person. I see things. What gets in the way of my perception sometimes is my needs. If I need something from someone, I don't perceive the truth. And that's the way, that's what runs into people with each other. Now, let's say you have a relationship with someone. And in this relationship with someone, you have a relationship with someone who doesn't always tell you what's wrong when it goes wrong. Right? You have a husband and he's a little annoyed with you, but he doesn't tell you. You can't trust that he's going to tell you. It doesn't mean you don't trust your husband. It means that somehow he learned that not to tell you what's really going on sometimes is a good idea because it passes. He doesn't care so much. So if you're with somebody who's not likely to tell you everything that bothers them, and then you notice something, like, for example, here's a story someone told me. He said, I noticed when we went to sleep that she slept on the other side of the bed. And he said, you know, all in the best, and I asked him how he slept. He said, we spoon. We always spoon for a while, and then after we spoon, we turn over facing opposite sides of the best, but we touch our butts, or we touch our feet. That's what he said. He always said, we always have some kind of contact. And I said, so in what case would you not have contact? He said, when she's upset with me. Then she just remove herself completely. Okay. What if she wasn't feeling well? What if she was tired? What if she was sick? What if that day she just rolled over on her side of the bed and there was nothing wrong? Well, that's okay. That's possible too. However, the next day, he went to touch her in an affectionate, somewhat sexual way, and she pushed his hand away. And he said, pushing my hand away. She never pushes my hand away. I wonder what's up. Just leave it alone. Maybe I tickled her or something. And then a little later, there was an argument over nothing. And then another thing, and he finally said at some point, what's going on? And he started putting the pieces together from last night when you slept on the other side of the bed. And she was making up some issue with him about it. It's just about the fact that you didn't make the reservations. And he said, no, this took place long before this. So here's the question. How do you know what's going on when somebody's upset with you and they don't let you know that they're upset with you? Or maybe they shouldn't let you know that they're upset with you because, like my good friend said, he said, sometimes it passes, so I just leave it alone. Okay. But sometimes it turns into something. And you could see it brewing. You could see evidence number 4, push my hand away. Evidence number 5, started an argument over toothpaste. Evidence number 6, and you see it brewing, and you know the way that this results. It goes to eventually, she's going to start screaming at me and telling me she wants to end the relationship. And we're going to have a huge fight. And so he said, instead, I'm going to bring it to her. I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to try to catch it now. Well, that was part of his development. But, you know, sometimes you just don't trust yourself. And here's the problem. Why didn't she bring it to him? Why did she not tell him what was upsetting her? There's a good reason. Because she didn't know. You see, she was at a point where she started getting into some irritable mood. For whatever reason, you could say it was chemical, you could say it was organic, you could say it was something triggered her, but she was getting into a bad mood, but she didn't see it. She just saw herself as, I was really tired, so I slept on the other side of the bed. And then she said, well, you tickled me when you touched me, that's why I slapped your hand away. And then excuse after excuse after excuse, because she didn't know it. And she was saying to herself, I'm a little annoyed, but I think the annoyance will pass. and she hopes it's going to pass. She's not lying. She's just hoping it will pass. Passive-aggressive people have always been described as people who express their anger passively. I say passive-aggressive people are people who are hoping that their aggression will pass. You know, I don't think it's as intentional as them saying, you know, I'm going to get even with you. I think you hope it's going to pass. So people who worry for a long time, people who have a preoccupied mind, they tend to build cases. And they build cases upon case before they know they're building it. And it's very difficult to be in a relationship with them. Because by the time you get to understand there's something wrong, you're fighting over nothing. Fighting over strange issues. In almost every relationship, there's a conversation point when you're arguing, when there's a tipping point. A point where it goes over the edge, where you're going to start screaming. You're going to start yelling and throwing things and getting really angry. But the tipping point, and then you say, what are we fighting about? We're fighting about that darn toothpaste. You didn't buy the toothpaste you were supposed to buy. The arguments are so silly, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. You know it can't be that. What is the tipping point? The tipping point is never the tipping point. The tipping point is some point before the tipping point. It happened a few days ago, and it was never picked up. Well, you know what happens? The tipping point usually is what we call a narcissistic wound. The thing that breaks you. I remember a woman described to me, she was in a relationship for, I think, 30 years with her husband. And she said one day he said something, and it was such a thing that he said that I decided it was time to leave him. She said, that was the tipping point. And I said, no. What he said wounded you. And it was what we call a narcissistic wound. He wounded your image of yourself. And that became the tipping point, how you see yourself. So people can go along a long time in unhappy marriages before they get to this tipping point, which is kind of a symbolic tipping point. Now, what happens when people have buried aggression, anger? They don't express it. They can't tell each other. They don't know what they're doing. They get a little annoyed with each other. They act in an annoyed way. You know what happens? Inevitably, infidelity. Yes, infidelity. It's a perfect solution. Instead of going home and having a miserable time, you step out with somebody who doesn't give you a miserable time. And I would say that accounts for 99% of all the infidelity out there in relationships that have a sworn promise of fidelity. Why does a person step out? Because he doesn't know how to stay in. Or she doesn't know how to stay in. So, you know, then after a while, she's got to watch him closely or he's got to watch her closely. After it gets discovered, who becomes the cop? Who becomes the real perceiver? I'll never trust you again. Trust becomes a big, big issue. Here becomes the issue. My friends, when you have something going wrong, you want to be able to talk to your partner about it, but you don't know how. And the way to talk about it is not to talk about and blame. The idea here is to talk about a sequence of things where you say, here is my response to something I perceived. Could you please tell me if you see anything going on? So if you say, I noticed the other night you slept and you were on the other side of the bed, were you feeling something negative at that point? And the person may say no. They may deny it. But you're trying very hard without blaming. Once you start blaming, once you start accusing, once you start saying to the other person, you, when the word you keeps coming out of your mouth, you, it's done for a while. Now it's only going to explosion. So it's very difficult. But you can do it. You can do it. It takes time. It takes a long time. And when you finally get there, my friends, you get to the point where you have a relationship with somebody who you can love, who you can grow older with, who you can depend on. And trust is a huge word, because maybe they're not going to tell you everything, but that's okay. 212-209-2900 is our number here. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Bring you new ideas, concepts, guests. Lead a more positively minded life. We want to take your calls. I'll be with you today and tomorrow. Tuesday and Wednesday, as our new schedule is for every day next month until we hit the fund drive in February, when we start trying to raise money with you guys. In the meantime, if you want to donate money, just go to the website, WBAI.org, and say, here, I got a little extra. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Well, I think it takes a little while.
Yes. Yes. There's someone there.
Hi there. You're there.
Hi.
Hi there.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very good today. Thank you very much for asking.
Great. I think your topic of discussion is perfect today.
Yeah, because you're involved, right?
I would say that I was involved too much, but I had to come to a place of understanding that people aren't perfect, and there are a lot of wounded souls out there. I know you made a point about someone might make a statement and you might feel wounded, but there's so many people out there that are wounded, a large percent of the population.
Yes, for sure. And what's your name?
Williams,
right. You know, I'll tell you something. You bring up a very good point. Because somebody said the other day to someone else, he said, when he was trying to bring it to her, he said, let me tell you something, honey. He said, you are 98% perfect. 98. And this little piece of you, the piece of you that can't recognize what you feel when you're feeling it, it's a problem. But you're 98% perfect, and it's part of your 2%. So I hope you could forgive my 2%, as I will work with your 2%. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
It does. It's beautiful.
Until it runs into your nose at such a point you can't handle it anymore.
Exactly.
Did you get away?
Yeah, I just been feeling that there's just a lot of individuals out there that are wounded. You know, they have past issues that they haven't dealt with, or they come from broken families, or they respond to relationships based on what's projected throughout society.
So what about you? Are you wounded?
I've been wounded, but I'm also an individual that tries to come away from a relationship that doesn't work, understanding that I pretty much have myself and they have their self, but I don't try to take somebody else's projection and own it.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Very good. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time. Okay.
Yes, and thank you. 212-209-2900. Wisdom. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. 212-209-2900. Mr. Tone.
Okay, it should be someone.
Hi there, you're on the air. Hello there. Well,
people don't turn down the radio. Okay.
You turn down your radio? Hello. Well, we're having just a little trouble with the phones. Yes, you're there. Hi.
Okay, hi.
Hi there.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I could hear you perfectly.
Hi, Harmon. Happy holidays.
What's your name?
My name is Michelle.
Michelle?
Yes.
Hi, Michelle.
Hello. I'm calling. I was listening to what you were saying, and but I'm in the process of a divorce now, and that whole little game about sleeping together, sleeping away from each other, and all that happened in my marriage, and I realized that it happened gradually. Basically, for me personally, it had to do with trust issues, that I couldn't express myself to my partner. There was a huge power struggle. He always had to be the dominant one. He always had to, be the person in control. So in a way, I became passive-aggressive in order to kind of take hold of some power somehow. And after a while, I felt like I was just a very narcissistic person. So I don't know, like...
Okay, so I hear your words now. Here's what you're saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're saying him, right?
Right.
You were powerless. Let's change these words. You, Michelle, are powerless. Mm-hmm. You're powerless to deal with people who are like that. You're powerless in those kind of situations. It's not about him. I mean, he is what he is. But I'll tell you something. You know, dominant men are a pushover. They are so easy. You can manipulate them so easily. If you
don't know about that.
Yes, it's true. I know you tried. I know you did. But it was your powerlessness that had to be challenged. Mm-hmm. And I'll bet you the next time around, you must like people who are strong. I'm sure you do. Mm-hmm. But you don't want them to be so strong that they control you. But I'm sure the next time around, you're going to find yourself having much more abilities to negotiate and talk to someone else. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know. When we feel powerless, we're lost. You know what I mean? And we don't know what to do. And you can't just blame him. It's like you chose him, you picked him, and you should...
I don't just blame him.
Oh, did you send him a thank you card?
No.
Well, there's an idea.
I did thank him for certain aspects of the relationship.
I think all exes should send a thank you card to their ex. One way or another, thank you, for the past that we did have that was okay. Mm-hmm. And thank you because I'm glad I'm out.
Well, I did send him an email. I didn't say thank you because I'm glad I'm out, but I said thank you for the good aspects of the relationship.
Nice, Michelle, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I don't think he was that easy to manipulate. He was tough.
I'll bet it would be easy if it were in my hands because he wouldn't have the same needs. You know what I mean? You know, it's just really what's on the other side. You'll see. Michelle, thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks very much.
Sure. Yes, that's it. We look at them. But dominant people, oh my God, are they easy. A car salesman sees a dominant person, he thinks he's going to get rich. Huh, dominance, this is easy. Someone come in and they're submissive. Oh my God, that one's hard to control because they're used to resisting somebody like me. Dominant people, they're easy. I just feed them. You know, you just feed them and they eat it. Just feed them compliments. Just tell them how great they are. It's so simple. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break. We're on WBAI at 99.5 FM. And it's a snowy, blizzardy day out there today. So I could not resist bringing you my only two beautiful holiday songs. So we'll be back with you in just a little bit. Listen up on this, my friends. This is my good friend, Brent Lewis.
Okay, so I have like six people on hold, and they're all fine. I think people gave up because they heard dead air, but I have six people on hold now.
listening to Brent Lewis from his album Jungle Bells. J-U-N-G-L-E Bells. Brent's so cute. All the way there in California, he sits up there in the mountains of California and he composes his music on musical drums. Fascinating stuff. You're listening to lyrical drums. Those are all drums. Nothing other. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. We are talking about perspicacity. Perspicacity, the ability to perceive, the ability to see clearly. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. You know, I've never recorded of my singing. Thank God. 212-209-2900. Let's take another of your calls. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Good snowy afternoon.
Good snowy winter wonderland afternoon.
Wow, I'm just happy to, you know, be speaking to you again. I've probably called maybe a couple of years ago and spoke with you.
Well, your voice is familiar to me.
Oh, great. What's
your name?
Tommy Thompson.
Tommy Thompson. I don't remember the name Tommy Thompson. Did you use that name the last time you called me?
Yeah.
Oh, Tommy Thompson. Of course I remember the name. I remember I said Tom. Right. Absolutely. How are you, Tommy? How are things for you?
Pretty good. If I could give a quick shout out to my dear friend Andrea there. I think she's such an incredible
Andrea person. Clark?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm working it out.
Good.
Yeah, she's pretty
good. Talk to you soon.
Well, good. Well, thank you very much for calling in, Tommy. Is there something about this that touches you?
Yeah, exactly. I've been just kind of very reflective in the last couple of months. I just got over a bout of pneumonia. Oi. I got at the end of September. And I've been spending a lot of time just, with myself and reflecting and doing things. But when you started out today speaking about the scenario with being in the bed together with your partner and lying there, and there would be often times when you could fall asleep easily and just be all right with just touching a certain area and just,
yeah,
you know, and being fine. But I know that I used to get caught up in the story that if I were upset about something, then when, you know, we would go to just go to bed, to go to sleep, then I would do exactly what you said. I mean, I would, you know, retreat. I would pull away. I've been in the same gender loving relationship. And I realized that I would get caught up in what people say. I was the person that always said, well, they should know. Like, I would get upset.
Right.
Like,
they should know how upset I am.
Know why. Yeah, that made me upset. And if I'm lying here and they're going to, you know, just try to put their arm around me or something, they should know that I'm upset. And they shouldn't do that until they handle whatever it is that's bothering me. Can't they see from my disposition? Can't they see from the way I'm being, just, you know, with myself? Like, can't they see I'm a little kind of off-center or whatever, or upset a little? Can't they see it? And don't they know what they just did? I mean, you know, and so I wouldn't speak of it. And the whole night, like, they'd fall off sound asleep, you know, and I'd like couldn't sleep. I wouldn't sleep well. I'd get up. I'd still be, you know, just heavy, you know.
I remember a man who I spoke to once who felt that way with his mate. And he said that his mate used to be like that. His mate would get very angry and upset with him, but wouldn't tell him. So he said what he did was he had sex with his mate at that time. He said, well, if she's not going to talk to me, I'll have sex with her and I'll make believe everything's okay. And he was doing it as an act of revenge. He said, good, you want to bury yourself? Go bury yourself. And he did it just out of his own aggression. And he felt like, he said, and this is the way he lived. When he finally realized that this is the way he was living, which was living with someone he was angry with and just, you know, getting revenge on her all the time, he decided it was time to go into treatment. Because that's not a way to live.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that one thing of your wishing that they knew you better and you wish that they would just perceive it doesn't work so well.
Right.
So you learn to speak up for yourself, obviously.
I certainly have, like, and I've been getting better at it, certainly, but I realized that I was just tired of suffering. And I realized I was bringing it on myself in a way because, and there were many times when I would bring up certain things and they would kind of, well, oh, that's nothing you're too sensitive. You're too sensitive.
So sure.
I think that would have me hesitate sometimes.
But Tommy, at the time you didn't have the skill to do it without blaming. You see, the whole secret here is how to bring up an issue without blaming the other person. And you didn't have that skill yet. So when you bring it up with a blame, they're going to blame you back.
Yeah.
And this is what happens between couples. You try to tell them, I find fault with you. They say, I find fault with you. But there are ways of communicating where you don't ascribe blame. And you get that skill after a while. And I'm sure you've developed it.
Yeah, I've gotten much better at it.
Well, Tommy, I want to thank you very much for calling in. Thank you for shouting out to Andrea as well.
Yeah, you're so welcome, and have a great rest of the snowy week, and Happy New Year to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tommy.
Great.
You
too. Talk to you soon.
And I also want to put a shout-out to Michael G. Michael G's not with us today because he had a death in his family, and he's out for a week. My heart goes out to him as well. This is, I think both parents now are gone, and he's just special to me and to many of us as well. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand.
Hello.
You're talking about perception and you're talking about what is true and you know, what gets in the way of a perception. And I was thinking about something in my life, and I said, it's my needs, And then later on you said, is our needs. And I totally agree, but also there's another thing came to my mind I'd like to explore with you. I noticed also that sometimes when we are kids, a perception of something you ask your parent or a relative, and they lie to you about what you perceived. And that happens, you know, you grow up with that, and then you learn not to trust your own perception.
Do you learn not to trust your own perception, or do you learn not to trust anybody else's as well? Because it's not your perception that's so doubtful, it's theirs. You know, everybody learns that their parents are liars after a while. If parents lie to you, the kids eventually don't believe them anymore. You don't believe them about anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that kind of throws you out there on your own.
Yeah, but sometimes on your head you go, you know, you see something, but you're like, oh, maybe I'm wrong about this.
Oh, I see,
and turn out you're not.
Yep.
You believe somebody else's perception instead of your own.
Yes, and you do that until you get through that drama, until you're done with your family. Because the only reason that you believe somebody else's perception rather than your own, and you just repeat the very same thing that happened to you in childhood, is because it's saying to you that you have a dependency need on that toxic parent. So let's say you had a mother who told you what reality is, but she lied to you, right?
Right.
And you then therefore believed her, and you didn't know what was wrong. Then later in life, you don't trust your own judgment. That means you're trying to call out, I need my mommy.
Mm-hmm.
When you get done with your mommy, when you say, I'm my own person, I don't need my mommy anymore, it no longer becomes an issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It takes quite a break, you know? What's your name?
Katya.
Oh, Katya.
I've called before.
Of course, I recognize your voice.
I get very nervous when calling, but I call just to get over it.
Yeah, Katya, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nice to speak with you. 212-209-2900. What lovely people we have here. Do you get that from listening to these voices? Tommy, Michelle, Williams, Katya. They're such beautiful people. The Positive Mind, here with you, Armand DeMille, The Positive Mind on WBAI 99.5 FM. You know how the show started? The show started many years ago when someone came to me and said, we need a program that presents to WBAI something positive. And it was a presentation of, they wanted to hear something that lifted the spirits. Well, I talk about such heavy stuff on the air. I talk about depression and guilt and sadness and anger. But somehow, I believe I help lift the spirit without being one of these yaddy-yaddy kind of people. I kind of bring your spirit up because I say to you, it's all okay. And for a long while, the station really needed to have as much of me around as possible. We were on with you 4 days a week. Now they're finding they don't need that much of that around, so we're down to 2 days a week. But I certainly am glad the way it's touched all of you. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Armand.
Yes.
It's Omar calling from
hello.
The Village
Omar,
of Harlem.
How are you,
my brother? You sound beautiful, and you should be on much, much more than 2 days.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to have to call the station manager and fix that up. And also, my condolences to Brother Michael.
Michael,
he lost his father a few months ago.
I know.
And now his mother. And I have family in Suffolk, Virginia. That's where my roots are. Although I'm born here in New York, but my grandparents are from Suffolk. That's Planet Peanut country.
Sure.
Like that whole city, just when I was there in my youth, I remember the smell of peanuts.
You know, more than a coincidence that he lost his father and then his mother at the same time, even though his father was having difficulties. You know, sometimes when you have a mate and your mate goes, you want to follow them.
Well, actually, it wasn't the same time. His father died, I think, about 6 months ago.
Yeah, but that's to me, that's the same time.
Yeah, well, okay. But and then your sidekick there, she's doing a beautiful job. So make sure that give her kudos and Happy New Year to everyone. As far as relationships are concerned, at this point in time in my life, I find that they're boring.
Good for you.
I find that a lot of people are very materialistic, especially this time of year. And I'm on, as quiet as it's kept, I'm an earth sign, and I'm a giver. I'm born the same day as William Shakespeare and some other so-called famous people, Al Pacino and them. But I'm a giver. And I find that a lot of the relationships that I've been involved with or counsel people about being in, it's all about the materialistic and not the spiritual. And I'm old school. I believe that we are spiritual beings going through a physical happening, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And we've lost a lot of spiritualism, especially with these holidays that are on us. And I like a lot of confinement, just being with myself, being with my pets, being with my plants. And I find I get a lot of joy just giving, not receiving. I find that it's boring that when I turn on the radio and television, I try to listen to BAI, and I give what I can to the station. But I always press the mute button when I see these commercials coming on, and it's all about trying to sell. And I try to, you know, you can keep the relationship beautiful if you buy that new Lexus or that new Porsche or go on a vacation in the Caribbean. Been there, did that. Old school, come on, let's get back to spiritualism. That's really what I'm about.
You know, Omar, you say something really important because the truth of it is most relationships are boring.
They are.
They're repetitious. They're meaningless. They have this. Most people are just kind of passing the time away, you know?
I think so
there's a point to it, you know, which I fully understand. And I hope to God you meet somebody like me. You wouldn't be bored with me, would you?
I've already met you.
I know.
I've met you in the spirit. I tap
you know
in.
What I mean? So there's people like me out there.
No, Omar. I'm not saying all people. I'm saying that most people that I've counseled or been involved with, it's always about how do I satisfy my lust or my quote underline love for this individual. Do I have to give? Because we live in a capitalistic society. We live in a society that's Wall Street. I mean, I'm living in Harlem, but I'm a stone's throw from Wall Street. And if you know the history of Wall Street, it was built really on slavery.
Yep.
You follow me? So it's all about taking instead of saying, like, I've got so much joy just giving my grandchildren things that I thought they would have wanted for the holidays. And I said, you know, this is not, I'm not just giving this because it's supposed to. I said, I do this every day.
Omar, I want to thank you so much. I've got six lines on, and I would love to take some of
your... Love you, and there's nothing you can do about it, Armand, and just keep the faith.
Thank you so much, Omar.
Salaam alaikum.
212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Yeah, great. My name is Eric. I'm the person who tends to be the ones who puts up with the other person being so... And I just keep tolerating it. It's been for 2 years, and I'm just...
Tolerant. What's your name? Eric?
Yeah.
Tolerant Eric. Yes. Yes, I see it. And it's like it's a brutal thing, you know? It almost pays off. Then every now and then they melt, and you get a nice little melted moment. But then you go back to this irritating stuff that you tolerate. It's tough. Are you a heavy thinker, Eric? Do you think a lot? Do you always in your mind...
Sometimes, on and off.
Yeah, because it's in the soul that tolerance really hurts.
You know, I try to be kind. I try to make it work, but we don't sleep together anymore. We just fight a lot, and she wants me to buy things. She said if I buy her more things, that'll alleviate the issue, but it never does, you know.
No, I know. There's always, not that she's wrong. Let me tell you what she goes through in her mind. She says, if only I had this, then I would be happier. And in her mind, she thinks it's true. I remember a man I knew who was married to a woman, and she said, if only I had a cat, I would be happy. And he got her a cat. He said, if only I had two cats. And then it was, if only I had a house. If only I had my own car. If only. And she was never happy until she realized, you know, that this is really nothing's going to solve it. He realized nothing's going to solve it. So he left. And he said, you know, this is it. Now, of course, she thinks that if only you bought her more presents, she might feel better. And you know that's not true. But you can't say to her it's not true. The best you could do is be there. But also not be tolerant.
I try that, but I really want to be with a woman, and I find myself getting involved with the wrong people.
Uh-huh.
And it's like you said before, you hit it right on target. It's just that's what I'm going through, and it's not working.
Absolutely.
I need to resolve it with her, end it, or just do something.
Well, kind of, Eric, you need to resolve it inside yourself. And that is where I think the target has to be. You kind of find out, why is it that you've been making yourself a sacrificial lamb? You know, what are you paying the dues for? What crime did you commit that makes you doing this, to make yourself in this position where you're being hurt? That's what you've got to dig into, because once you locate that and you absolve yourself, you'll choose better relationships.
Yeah, why am I putting myself there? Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you, Eric, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. You got to turn down your radio, and you're there. Let's try another one, Andrea. 212-2. Hello there. Yes.
Yes, I'm going to turn it down right now. I had to call because when your program began, or rather, you were talking about earlier, I found it so humorous when you say that they're arguing over something silly like the toothpaste. And I could just envision a woman saying, no, it's not silly. It means he doesn't love me. He doesn't respect me. He doesn't value my opinion. I could just hear the woman saying that in response to you saying that the argument was about something silly.
It's something other, you know what I mean? And I don't mean to diminish it. But the very fact that it winds up over the toothpaste winds up saying to me, neither of you are on target. You know, neither you nor she. When you're fighting about toothpaste, believe me, you're so far away from each other.
It's always something else. But you know what? Listen to other callers. I wanted to put something out to you. I'm listening to the people talk about the relationships, and one of the callers about it being materialistic. I want to put this out to you because I am one of those people who just always in my head, always thinking, right? And I've come to understand that our relationships are not based on what we think they are. If you, I'm, pretty sure you probably know about game theory and the prisoner's dilemma.
Yes, I do. But go ahead. What part of that are you picking?
There are variations to the prisoner's dilemma. And I come to see that our relationships are based almost wholly on that.
You describe that to the audience.
The prisoner's dilemma is, and I usually explain this to people who ask me when they get problems, and I listen to what they're saying, and I ask them a question. I say, well, what is your relationship, you know, based on? Basically getting down to the thing where it's 50-50, that's how it should be. And then I explain to them, well, you're playing a game, and the game has a name, and it's one of the names for it is the prisoner's dilemma. And that's when, wow, can I explain this?
But the trouble is we don't have the time to go into it further. Right. But people could look it up. Right. They could look up the prisoner's dilemma on the Internet, and they could find that information.
Yeah, and I believe that that's the basis for the majority of the relationships, especially when you see people having problems. They're obviously playing that game and don't know it.
Well, that's great. What's your name?
Randall.
Wendell?
Randall, R-A-N-D-A-L.
Randall. Randall, thank you very much for that contribution. I'm sure people will look it up and they'll find it. Prisoner's Dilemma. Thank you so much for calling in. 212-209-2900. We got time to squeeze one more caller in here. Let's do that. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. I think we can get one more in there, Andrea. Hi. Hello there.
I guess they're gone.
Well, I want to thank you all for calling in. It's quite an amazing thing. I want to thank Andrea Clark for helping us with the engineering today. Listen, my friends, I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. Be sure to tune in. I do love taking your calls when we get a chance, especially towards the end of this year. You know, they agree.
There are a couple people calling if you want to.
Want to give me one more, Andrea?
Sure.
Hi. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead. It's Armand DeMille. Hello there.
One more, Andrea. Hi. Hi, you're on the air. Right. It's Armand DeMille.
Whoop.
Hello.
You got to, radio's gone. I guess we can't do it, Andrea. One more, try it.
They should be speaking.
Hi there. Well, I guess.
No, I guess not.
Well, my friends, we have an open voice. We have an open mic. I want to be very happy to speak with you. I'll speak to you all tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. Be sure to tune back.
Bye.
Bye-bye for now.